I'm turning this evening to the book of Isaiah and chapter 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And a wonderful promise of the Lord. We find a New Testament promise, if you like, in the middle of the Bible, in the first chapter of this great prophecy, so many hundreds of years, 700 years perhaps, before the Lord came to this earth, Isaiah prophesies and is put forth as a reasoning. The Lord our Maker, the one whom we've offended, the one who is at enmity with, comes to us and reasons with us. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. And he gives us a wonderful promise. This world is full of broken promises, and yet here we have a promise of God. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And it really is quite wonderful that we have this promise. It really is quite wonderful that this promise can be effectual. The Lord can do it. We cannot do it of ourselves, but the Lord will do it. The Lord will give us this wonderful gift. Now, being dressed correctly is a great theme of the Bible. We have many examples. We had the scripture reading in Matthew 22 about the man without his wedding garment. So wearing the right thing is important. It's important in life, even in this life. You know the importance of being dressed correctly. Even children know the importance of being dressed correctly when they go to school, and they'll soon find out if they're not dressed correctly. We know the importance of being dressed correctly when we go to work. There is a standard. We must dress in a certain way. That way may be casual, that way may be smart, but there is a standard, an expectation. It's written into your contract, probably, how you must be dressed. When you go to a wedding, you dress as you would expect people to dress when you go to a wedding. And you only have to look at the news over the last day or so. The wedding dress of the princess, in detail, you'll see a story. And they'll go through it in the minutest of detail. What people wore, there'll be a story just on the dresses, just on the hats. You see, it was important what people were wearing. If you have a job that requires you to be wearing something particular, it's important that you do. You will have a job where you must have the right equipment, like a fireman. You know, these things are important in life. To be dressed correctly, to be dressed appropriately, makes sense. And it's a wonderful picture, therefore, for us to come and to see and to consider this evening. Because, like it's important we're dressed correctly in our lives, so it's essential that we are dressed spiritually. It's essential that we are clothed appropriately. And it's important that we are dressed, yes, in life, but also, most important, what are we dressed in spiritually? How do we appear to God? For the text tells us this evening, though our sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. And the Bible gives us imagery, robes. Doesn't have it in this verse, but we know we have a robe of scarlet, a robe of righteousness. So we have a great picture, and I want to consider this picture, this promise that we have this evening. Well, if it's important how we're dressed in life, just think how important it is when we come to meet the Lord. On that day when you leave this earth, on the day when the Lord comes again, we will meet him. We will sit before him. We will stand before him. All people will stand before him. The young, the old, the wise, the unwise, the rich, the poor, kings and queens, the normal man, if you like, the average person. Everybody will stand before God. Everybody will stand equally before him. And we will then be judged. And we will be in his hands, we will be those at his mercy. We will stand before him, and we must think about what are they wearing? What are they wearing now? What are the people who are standing before God in God's presence now? What are they wearing? Well, if you were to spend some time in the book of Revelation, we won't turn to it now, but you know, John has a vision, and after he's told us about the letters to the churches, he goes on and he says, after this, behold, there was a door opened in heaven, and he goes into heaven as it were, and he sees many wonderful things, a great description of the host standing, worshipping God around his throne. And he sees 24 elders sitting on seats around the throne. And those elders, it said, are clothed in white clothes, white raiment, white garments. They have crowns on their head. If you go a little bit further in the book, in chapter 6, you will read about the martyrs. The martyrs, those who have been killed because they believe in God, those who have been killed because of their testimony. And they say, how long, O Lord, will you wait? How long until you go again to the earth and avenge our blood? And it said to them that they must wait, and they were given white robes, they were given garments, white garments. If you're to go a little bit further in the book into chapter 7, you will hear the vision, and you will see around the throne there are many, many people. Oh, a great multitude, without number, more than the stars in the sky, more than the sand on the sea, all around the throne. And what are they wearing? What are they wearing? Well, they're all wearing white. White robes, all clothed in white robes. So John has a great vision, and he sees the Holy One. He sees the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He sees around the throne the 24 elders. He sees the beasts, the four beasts around the throne. And he sees the sea of glass like unto crystal. And he sees the great multitude, the elders, the martyrs, all of them without exception are wearing white robes. A wonderful picture. But you know, that's bad news. That could be bad news for us, because the Bible says we might be wearing scarlet. If I was to look out from here to you, would you be wearing white? Do you know, the saints that sit around the throne in heaven are wearing white, not because it's not what they're wearing that's important, it's what it symbolizes. This is a picture for us, because we know that the white stands for the righteousness of saints. This is the righteousness of saints. This is their righteousness. So everybody that sits around the throne is perfectly righteous. Everybody that sits around the throne of God, everybody that's in heaven in God's presence, is clothed in white raiment, white clothes. And I ask you, what are we wearing now? Well, it's possible there's somebody here who's wearing scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet, says the Lord, they shall be white as snow. But they may be scarlet now. Why scarlet? Why scarlet? You may say sin is black. You would expect sin to be black, perhaps, as in contrast to white. But the Lord said our sins are like scarlet. And in those days, if you wanted to change the colour of something, perhaps you had a white piece of cloth or a white garment, and you wanted it to be red, well, you could take the dye that came from an insect and you could dye that garment. And sometimes they would double dye it. So you would have a very expensive thing to do, and you could take the dye and you would put the dye in a bath, and you would bath the garment in that dye, and you would take it out and let it dry and then put it back in, and you would dye it again. So double dye. And so therefore this was something that the people of the time were very familiar with. This was a colour of royalty. Scarlet, clothed with scarlet. And it's dye, and it signifies the dye, the stain, if you like. Do you know when you have clothes and you can't get the stain out? Well, sometimes you're trying to stain something. Sometimes you're trying to dye something. And so the picture here is of a garment that's stained. with something bright red. And in those days especially, nothing could get that stain out of that garment. It was impossible. And so this is a great picture for us, because it's a picture of our sin. It's a picture of how our sin stains our soul. Our sins, though they be like scarlet, because they're a dye, they're something that stains your soul. And there is nothing that we can do. There is absolutely no way that we can get that soul clean again. That soul is stained, and so is our soul. The sins that we commit, the lies that we tell, the deceitfulness in our hearts, the pretense maybe that we make, the careless nature we have to God and to His promises. Before we're a Christian, we have sometimes great hatred in our hearts. Before we're a Christian, sometimes we're so indifferent to the things of God. We haven't prayed to God as we ought. We haven't worshipped Him as we ought. Oh, there are so many sins in our hearts. Sins of knowledge that we know, sins that we don't know. So many things that we've done, and it stains our soul. Our sins are so obvious. That's another thing about the colour red, isn't it? It catches your eye. If there was everybody here in white tonight, but just one person in red, it would be obvious. I would be able to see it straight away. If there was a throne and a multitude sat around the throne, all clothed in white, and yet one of them was red, it would be obvious. When the man, the king, gave a feast for his son, and he comes into the wedding feast, and everybody's clothed in their wedding garments, and there's one man that's not, he sees him straight away, and he says, how does that man come in without a wedding garment? How is it possible? And so that is an obvious thing. Our sin is so obvious. But we're blind. Do you know? Your sin is obvious to other people. It may not be to you. Lord, I was blind. I could not see. We cannot see the goodness of God. We cannot see our own sin. We cannot see the offense that we cause to God. We cannot see how it separates us from Him. We cannot see how He must be just and that He must deal with them. We cannot see the sins of deepest dye. We look on ourselves and we think, well, I'll admit that I've got a few cuts and bruises. I'll admit that I've got a bit of dirt on my sleeve, but I'm not that bad. I'm not red. I've not got sins of deepest dye. This isn't the case for me. Oh, that person over there, that murderer, that person in prison, well, they are perfectly died in scarlet for sure. They're definitely going to judgment. Not me, I'm okay. Not perfectly white, but white enough. Oh, well, these people are around the throne are in pure white. Whiter than snow, says our text. Nothing, no offense, no stain, no spot, no wrinkle. And so sin is pictured here with scarlet, the color scarlet. Stained, yes. Obvious, yes. Red is the colour of danger, isn't it? I recently went on a training course, and they were telling us about how to present visually graphs and charts. And they said, whatever you do, don't put red on there unless it's bad news, because everyone thinks it's bad news, even if it's not. So be careful. Green is good. Blue is kind of mellow. Red is danger. Red is ranger. Red is danger, and so we have the colour red. It's dangerous. The colour red is obvious, and there's great danger if we're in our sins. There is great danger that we will be separated from God forever. And so our condition by nature, our condition if we've never become a Christian, is that we're clothed in scarlet. Our sins, our soul is stained with sin. And there's a great promise in this text that though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Well, how is it possible? How can you become white as snow when you're scarlet? How is it possible? Well, I wonder, where did the people in heaven get their garments from? If everybody has one, where did they get them from? And it's a good question. Do you know when the Apostle John had his vision? He has his vision of the people sitting around the throne in heaven, and they're all clothed in white, and somebody in heaven, one of the elders, says to John, where do these people come from? And where did they get their white robes from? Strange, isn't it? You would think they would be telling John that. But they ask John. Not because they don't know, but because they want him to think. When a child knocks over a drink and you're standing right in front of them, you say, how did that happen? Not because you don't know, but because you want them to think about how it happened and if it would happen again. And so John has this vision of heaven, and the elder says to him, where did these people come from? And where did they get their robes from? And John says, sir, you know. You know. You don't know me. You don't need me to tell you. You know. And the elder says, These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, if you become a Christian, if you repent of your sin, if you see your stained soul, you see your dirtiness, you see the offense that your sin causes a holy God, you see that and you understand it, well, you know then that there is no way you can get that clean of yourself. And so therefore the only thing to do is to call out to him. The only thing to do is to cry out to him. You cry out to him and you ask him to wash you. Wash you. Make me clean. So there's a great exchange about to take place. Because, you know, even though your sins are scarlet, they can be white as snow because Christ is white as snow. In the book of Revelation in chapter 1, John has a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he sees is the Lord Jesus Christ clothed with a garment down to the foot. And he sees that his head and his hair are white like wool, as white as snow. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is white as snow. He is the only one that ever has a soul, ever had a soul that was white as snow. So when he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life. When he came to this earth, he never sinned in thought or word or deed. When he came to this earth, there was nothing in him that was sinful at all. He wasn't born in sin. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He had nothing that was an offense to God. And so his life was perfectly pure and white. His life, his soul was perfectly clean. And he says, your soul is perfectly stained. Your soul is totally stained with sin. And he says, I have a clean soul. I have a life. I have a perfect and pure life, which I am willing to give to you. I am willing to give that to you if you will give me your sins. If you will confess your sins, then I will take your sins. And I will give you my righteousness. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, because they can be swapped, because they can be washed away, because the sins that you have committed can all be punished on the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness which he earned, which he conducted, which he performed, are all given to you. And so there's a great exchange. Do you know when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we read? They stripped him, says Matthew chapter 27, and they put on him a scarlet robe. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. You see, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to mock him. And the other gospels say this robe was purple. In Matthew's gospel it says it was scarlet. But this was the colour of kings. And I think they put on him a scarlet robe, probably the closest thing they had to purple. But they were doing it because they were mocking him as a king. If a child takes a towel and they use it and they put it as a cape, are they wearing a towel or are they wearing a cape? Well, it's both. It's a towel, but for that purpose it's a cape. Was the robe purple or was it scarlet? Well, it was scarlet, but for the reason they put it on to mock him, because kings wore the colour of scarlet. They wore the colour purple. And so they are putting this scarlet robe on him and they're mocking him, saying, ah, you're a king, you can wear scarlet, you can wear purple. But really, the Lord Jesus Christ is symbolizing there for us that he has taken our sin if we trust in him. So they put on him a scarlet robe And therefore, on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A verse that we read from 2 Corinthians. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So where do you get your righteous robe from? Well, Isaiah chapter 61 says like this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And so, if we are wearing a scarlet robe this evening, we haven't confessed our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, we haven't felt sorry for them, we've been repentant for them, the Bible says, even if your soul is stained and sinful, even if you are separated from God, you can be united to him. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have a sure hope of heaven. What a wonderful thing. Our sin dealt with because of this great exchange. Christ takes your sin. You take his righteousness. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he told a story, and he said there was once a man who was very well dressed, very rich, and he walked down the street and he saw a man who was poor, a beggar, and he took that man home and he said, go upstairs and put on my best suit. So the man went upstairs and he put on the man's best suit, and he came down and he said, how do I look? He said, you look wonderful. And he said, well, it's only because I've got your suit on. I'm still what I was 10 minutes ago. But it's like, I've got your suit on, that's why I look wonderful. And Spurgeon said, well, that's how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You come in dirty and poor and naked and blind and wretched and miserable. He clothes you upon repentance and faith. He clothes you in his righteousness. And to him you look wonderful. You are but what you were 10 minutes ago. But with your sins forgiven, you are clothed in righteousness. You are presented before the throne as spotless, because Christ cannot fail. His soul was perfect, and therefore you are truly righteous, not because you are righteous of yourself, but because you are covered in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must repent, friends. If you would want this righteousness, if you would want to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, to know that if you were to die, you're safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus, that when you get to heaven and are judged, there will be no condemnation for you because your sins are forgiven, they're washed away already. Well, we must come in repentance. And when David had committed a great sin, he came in repentance. And when he prayed, he said, Lord, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And that's the kind of repentance that we would need to have. Oh, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. You just read Psalm 51 and you can see the great sorrow in David's heart for his sin. That's the kind of sorrow that we need to have for our sin if the Lord is to hear our cry for mercy. This isn't like, oh, just say yes to Jesus. You may hear people say, just say yes to him, just pray this prayer and your sins are forgiven. No, this is begging for mercy. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 69, he's someone who's drowning. Deep waters are flooding over him. He's weary with his crying out. And this is how it is. We're crying out to the Lord to save us. This isn't something we're just casually saying yes to. We cry out to him, pleading for forgiveness, pleading for mercy. If you get a chance later, you can go and read Revelation chapter 6 and the second judgment and the earthquake. And all the people who are unforgiven, and they're asking the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of the Lamb, to hide them from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the great day of his wrath has come. And if we're unconverted, if we're unbelieving, if we're unrepentant on that great day of judgment, if we're unbelieving and unrepentant when we go to die and we leave this earth, we will be asking the rocks to fall on us, the mountains to fall on us, to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, because we'll have had opportunity for our sins to be washed away in this life. We've had opportunity for our sins, though they are scarlet, to be white as snow. And we'd have spurned those opportunities, and we'll see the regret that we have and the opportunity that we've missed, and we will have to face separation from God forever. Friends, this is a gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. But you have to ask. You have to come, and you have to ask for forgiveness. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. I was going to quote that hymn that we sang, the first hymn that we sang. In wonder lost, with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye, a pardon brought with Jesus' blood. We sing another hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and to pardon me. So this is what we do. We come in repentance and faith. We recognize that we cannot do anything to cleanse the sin-stained rag of our garments. We cannot, even our best works are just filthy rags to him. We know that we could not get the dirtiest garment clean of ourselves. We know that we cannot get our sins washed away of ourselves. We cannot clean ourselves sufficiently. We must be spotless and whiter than snow. And so we come and we accept this gift. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What will stop us repenting? What stops you coming to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? What stops you? What stops us being dressed and ready for what we must go to in life? What stops the child not getting their school uniform on? Is it laziness? Get ready, please. Nothing. Ask them again. Get ready, please. Nothing. How many times do I have to ask for you to get your school uniform on? Are we too lazy? Are we lying in bed when we should be getting dressed? Are we too lazy to repent? Too lazy to think about our sin? Too lazy to think about the consequences? Too lazy to repent and ask for forgiveness? Well, it's possible, isn't it? I was reading about Lewis Hamilton recently. You may or may not know who that is. But Lewis Hamilton gets paid millions of pounds for driving a car around a racetrack. And he's one of the best in the world at driving a car around a racetrack. And, you know, he, because of his fame and fortune, he gets invited to lots of places. And he gets invited to the things like the final at Wimbledon, which he did get invited to. And he boasted about it. Well, boasting's perhaps a bit harsh, but he publicised it to his friends. I'm going to Wimbledon. I'm going to the Wimbledon final. So honoured to be going to the Wimbledon final. And not just going to the Wimbledon final, but sitting in the royal box. And so therefore, Lewis Hamilton took all this. He posted a picture of the programme and publicised this on Instagram and all sorts of places. And when he got there, he rolled up. You can imagine his nonchalance. And when he got there, they said, "Sorry, sir, you can't come in." "What? I'm sorry? I can't come in? Why?" "Well, you can't come in because you're not wearing a jacket and you're not wearing a tie. And the rules of the Wimbledon Royal Box are that you must be wearing a jacket and you must be wearing a tie." And Lewis Hamilton wasn't allowed in, and he had to go and watch it from some other box somewhere else, some other hospitality suite somewhere else. Didn't matter that he was Lewis Hamilton, he wasn't dressed correctly. And, you know, I don't know why Lewis Hamilton hadn't got a shirt and a tie or a jacket and a tie. Was he too ignorant of the rules? Did he not bother to think, I better look about what I should be dressed in? Maybe he was too proud to think that he would be excluded, whatever he was wearing. Are we too proud to come in repentance? Are we too proud to say to the Lord, "I know I'm wearing scarlet, Lord, cleanse me, wash me, and I will be clean. I shall be whiter than snow. The man at the wedding, Matthew chapter 22, wasn't wearing a wedding garment. And most people think that everybody that went to that wedding was given something to wear. They were all wearing the same thing. We don't know what it was. Can you imagine that man turning up to that wedding? He's been invited in. Lots of other people have said no. They're begging people to come in. And he comes. And they say, by the way, you must wear this. And he says, no, don't worry, I'll be fine. I don't need to wear that. But when the king came in, he said, who are you? Why are you here? Why are you not wearing your wedding garment? And they bound him hand and foot and threw him. And you know that man? He was too proud. He was too proud to submit to the rules. He was too proud to do what he was asked. He was too proud to wear what he was supposed to wear. He thought he could do it on his own. He thought he would be okay. Friend, if you're here this evening and you think, well, I'll be okay. I'm not perfect, but I'll be okay. On that day of judgment, I'm not perfect, but I'll be okay. Well, the Bible tells us quite clearly this evening, we won't be. We won't be. Because when that man, when the king said to him, why are you not wearing your wedding garment? The man didn't answer back. The man didn't try to justify himself. What was the man? We read the man was speechless. And if we stand in the presence of God and he says to us, why are you wearing your scarlet sins? You are not clothed as something in white as snow. Why is that? We won't be answering back. We won't be justifying ourselves. We will be speechless and we will be carried away from the presence of God for all eternity. And so I plead this evening, the Lord pleads with you this evening. He says, come now and let us reason together. If your sins are still scarlet, if your soul is still stained with the stains of sin, then if you repent and if you come to him and you ask, they shall be white as snow. Christ's righteousness, a gift given to you, that you may stand before the throne, that you may stand around the throne of God in heaven for all eternity, worshipping him, worshipping the Lamb, not in your own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of keeping the Ten Commandments, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, freely given to you, if you will come and turn from your sin and trust in him. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So come to him. Repent of your sin, and you will be somebody who's clothed in the righteousness of another, and you will be saved and safe for all eternity. Amen.